Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word, and this show is for, surprisingly, the 1st of January, 2018. We bring in the secular new year, and I don't particularly celebrate it, but a lot of people do. We are in the book of Jasher. Now, last Friday, I had to finish at chapter 12, verse 52. So we will be beginning at chapter 12, verse 53, and finishing that chapter and going on to 13, etc. today. There we go. I had to cough. It's dry in here. The heat is pumping. It's very cold outside, so the heat is drying the air out inside, and I needed to cough. I want to remind everybody that the book of Jasher can be found at www.sacred-text.com, and you can find the book of Jasher in there. That's basically what I will be reading from, except the modifications that I have made when comparing with the Hebrew text, the spelling, the pronunciation. I have references to many, many verses. I've gone through the entire book of Jasher and listed the timeline according to Genesis, etc., etc. So mine is a little different. I have a book that's is printed in 1990. Okay, so it's been a long road, and it has served me well, and I take care of my stuff, all the scripture and the associated studies like the Apocrypha. I take good care of what I have been blessed with. Let's get started. This is chapter 12, verse 53. Okay. And behold, the day will come when Abram and his seed, or seed line, and the children of his household will war with my king, and they will smite all the king's hosts and his troops. Well, they're speaking to Nimrod. That's what these men were saying to King Nimrod. Verse 54. And as to what you have said concerning three men which you did see like unto yourself, and which did escape, this means that only you will escape with three kings from the kings of the land or earth, who will be with you in battle. These are the wise men talking, the supposed wise men talking to Nimrod about Abram. His name had not been changed to Abraham. It was still Abram. Verse 55. They're interpreting this dream that he had. And that which you saw on the river, which turned to an egg as at first, and the young bird plucking out your eye, this is nothing else but the seed of Abram, which will slay the king in the latter days. Verse 56. This is my king's dream, and this is its interpretation. And the dream is true, and the interpretation which your servant has given you is right. This is Anuki speaking, his servant. Verse 57. Now, therefore, my king, surely you know that it is now 52 years since your sages saw this at the birth of Abram. And if my king will suffer Abram to live in the land, it will be to the injury of my lord and king. For all the days that Abram lives, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. In other words, it won't be firmly established. It'll be tenuous. For this was known formerly at his birth, and why will not my king slay him, that his evil may be kept from you in later days? Verse 58. And Nimrod hearkened to the voice of Anuki, and he sent some of his servants in secret to go and seize Abram and bring him before the king to suffer death. Verse 59. And Eleazar, Abram's servant whom the king had given, was at that time in the presence of the king, and he heard what Anuki had advised the king and what the king has said to cause Abram's death. Verse 60. And Eleazar said to Abram, hasten, rise up and save your soul, or being. They translate soul, but it is being. Okay, save your life, in other words, that you may not die through the hands of the king, for thus did he see in a dream concerning you, and thus did Anuki interpret it. And thus did Anuki advise the king concerning you. In other words, Anuki said, kill this guy. Verse 61. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Eleazar, and Abram hastened and ran for safety to the house of Noah and his son Shem. And he concealed himself there and found a place of safety. And the king's servants came to Abram's house to seek him, but they could not find him. And they searched throughout the country, and he was not to be found. And they went and searched in every direction, and he was not. And they have to be met with in here, but it's in italics. In other words, they just added that. And he was not. In other words, they couldn't find him. Verse 62. And when the king's servants could not find Abram. Pardon me. I really need to put my reading glasses on. Those glasses are the medium 18-inch range for working on a computer, and I'm reading out of this book. Oh, that's so much better. Okay. And when verse 62, and when the king's servants could not find Abram, they returned to the king But the king's anger against Abram was stilled. In other words, he'd calmed down. As they did not find him, and the king drove from his mind this matter concerning Abram. In other words, oh well. Verse 63, and Abram was concealed in Noach's house for 1 month, until the king had forgotten this matter. But Abram was still afraid of the king, and Terach came to see Abram, his son, secretly in the house of Noach. And Terach was very great in the eyes of the king. Well, if you remember, Terach was the one that ratted him out to the king. That's his own father. Verse 64, and Abram said to his father, do you not know that the king thinks to slay me and to annihilate my name from the land by the advice of his wicked counselors? Verse 65, now whom have you here, and what hast you in this land? Arise, let us go together to the land of Canaan, that we may be delivered from his hand, lest you perish also through him in the latter days. Verse 66. Do you not know, or have you not heard, that it is not through love that Nimrod gives you all this honor, but it is just for his benefit that he bestows all this good on you? In other words, wake up. This guy didn't love you. He's just fooling you. And he can take it away just as quick as he gave it to him, too. Verse 67, and if he does unto you greater good than this, surely these are only vanities of this world. Listen to this. For wealth and riches cannot avail in the day of wrath and anger. In other words, if he gets mad again, he can kill you just as quick as he pleases. Because Nimrod was the high muckety-muck at that point. Verse 68, now hearken to my voice, and let us arise and go to the land of Canaan from the reach of injury from Nimrod, and serve Yahweh who created you in the land, and it will be well with you, and cast away all the vain things which you pursues. In other words, following those pagan gods, those little idols that he had. Verse 69. And Abram ceased to speak when Noach and his son Shem answered Terach, saying, in other words, they're talking to Terach too. And they said this, true is the word which Abram has said to you. Verse 70, and Terach hearkened to the voice of his son Abram, and Terach did all that Abram said, for this was from Yahweh, that the king should not cause Abram's death. So Yahweh is working on Terach, and he finally listened, and they're going to get out of there, so Nimrod doesn't kill him, because Abram was going to be the patriarch of all the families of Israel. Now, we start chapter 13 here. And Terach took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and Sarai, she wasn't Sarah yet, she was Sarai, his daughter-in-law, the wife of his son Abram, and all the souls of his household, and went with them from Ur-Kasdim, to go to the land of Canaan. And when they had come as far as the land of Haran, they remained there, for it was exceedingly good for pasture and of extent for those who accompanied them. That's verse 1 of chapter 13, and you can reference Genesis 11, verse 31. Okay? Verse 2 of chapter 13. And the people of the land of Haran saw that Abram was good and upright with Yah and men, and that Yahweh, his Elohim, was with him, and some of the people of the land of Haran came and joined Abram, and he taught them the instructions of Yahweh and his ways. And these men remained with Abram in his house, and they adhered to him. In other words, they became his men, and they listened to him and his teachings, all about Yahweh's words. Yahweh was blessing him for that. Verse 3. And Abram remained in the land 3 years, and at the expiration of 3 years, Yahweh appeared to Abram and said to him, probably one of the messengers, and this is what he said, I am Yahweh who brought you forth from Ur Kasdim and delivered you from the hands of all your enemies. Verse 4. And now, if you will hearken to my voice and keep my commandments, my statutes, and my laws, then will I cause your enemies to fall before thee. Well, listen to this. You're going to hear this a lot. And I will multiply your seed line like the stars of the sky. And I will send my blessing upon all the works of your hands, and you shall lack nothing. Okay. Now here's verse 5. And you can reference Genesis 12, verse 1. Arise now, take your wife and all belonging to you, and go to the land of Canaan and remain there. And I will be unto you for an Elohim, and I will bless you. And Abram rose and took his wife and all belonging to him, in other words, everybody in his household, and he went to the land of Canaan, as Yahweh had told him, and Abram was 50 years old when he went from Haran. All right, a notation here. In Genesis 12, verse 4, it says 75 years old. So there is a disparity in the time. One said, this says 50, and Genesis says 75. Okay. Another little note. Verse 6. And Abram came to the land of Canaan and dwelt in the midst of the city. And he there pitched his tent among the children of Canaan, inhabitants of the land. Verse 7. And Yahweh appeared to Abram when he came to the land of Canaan and said to him, this is the land which I gave to you and to your seed line after you forever, and I will make your seed line like the stars of the sky, and I will give unto your seed line for an inheritance all the lands which you see. There's that statement again. I will make your seed like the stars of the sky. Verse 8 of chapter 13. And Abram built an altar in the place where Yah had spoken to him, and Abram there called upon the name of Yahweh. Called upon the name of Yahweh way before Moses was reminded of the name. He knew the name at that time. So the Israelites, when they were in Egypt, knew the name, but they needed to be reminded of it. And that's why Yahweh told Moshe, say that Yahweh sent me. Okay, they needed to be reminded that he was there with them in Mitzrayim, Egypt. Okay. Verse 9 of chapter 13 of Jasher. At that time, at the end of 3 years of Abram's dwelling in the land of Canaan, in that year, Noach died, which was the 58th year of the life of Abram. And all the days that Noach lived were 950 years, and he died. Verse 10. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, he, his wife, and all belonging to him, and all those that accompanied him, together with those that had joined him from the people of the land. But Nachor, Abram's brother, and Terach, his father, and Lot, the son of Haran, and all belonging to them, dwelt in Haran, the land of Haran. Okay. Verse 11. In the 5th year of Abram's dwelling in the land of Canaan, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, in here it's Sodom and Gomorrah. That's not how it's pronounced. If you read the Hebrew, it's Sodom and Gomorrah, not Gomorrah. And all the cities of the plain revolted from the power of Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, for all the kings of the cities of the plain had served Chedorlaomer for 12 years and given him a yearly tax. But in those days, in the 13th year, they rebelled against him. Verse 12. And in the 10th year of Abram's dwelling in the land of Canaan, there was war between Nimrod, king of Shinar, and Chedorlaomer, king of Elam. And Nimrod came to fight with Chedorlaomer and to subdue him. Verse 13. For Chedorlaomer was at that time one of the princes of the host of Nimrod. In other words, he was under Nimrod while he was rebelling. And when all the people at the tower were dispersed and those that remained were scattered upon the face of the earth, Chedorlaomer went to the land of Elam and reigned over it and rebelled against his lord, in other words, Nimrod. Verse 14. And in those days, when Nimrod saw that the cities of the plain had rebelled, he came with pride and anger to war with Chedorlaomer. And Nimrod assembled all his princes and subjects, about 700,000 men, and went against Chedorlaomer. And Chedorlaomer went out to meet him with 5,000 men. Whoa, that's 700,000 against 5,000. And they prepared for battle in the valley of Babel, which is between Elam and Shinar. Verse 15. And all those kings fought there. Now listen to this. And Nimrod and his people were smitten before the people of Chedorlaomer, and there fell from Nimrod's men about 600,000, and Mardon, the king's son, fell amongst them, and he killed his son. So they killed 600,000 of the 700,000. 5,000 men did that. It was time for Nimrod to go. That's a big disparity in numbers, folks. And Nimrod fled and returned in shame and disgrace to his land, and he was under subjection to Chedorlaomer for a long time. And Chedorlaomer returned to his land and sent princes of his host to the kings that were around him, to Arioch, king of Elasar, and to Tidal, king of Goyim, king of the people, or king of nations, actually, and made a covenant with them, and they were all obedient to his commands. He placed everybody in subjection under him and reversed the deal with Nimrod, who was the big high muckety muck. Well, now Chedorlaomer was the high muckety muck. And he put a whooping on Nimrod and all his troops. Verse 17. That was in the 15th year of Abram's dwelling in the land of Canaan, the 70th year of the life of Abram. And Yahweh appeared to Abram in that year, and he said to him, I am Yahweh who brought you out from Ur Chasdim to give you this land for an inheritance. Verse 18. Now walk before me and be perfect and keep my commands, and keep my commands, for to you and to your seed line I will give this land for an inheritance. From the river Mitzrayim, that's a river of Egypt, unto the great river Euphrates. Lots of land. And it was different land in those days. It wasn't a wasteland like it is now. Verse 19. And you shall come to your fathers, in other words, you'll die in peace, in peace and in good age, and the fourth generation shall return here in this land and shall inherit it forever. And Abram built an altar, and he called upon the name of Yahweh, who appeared to him, and he brought up sacrifices upon the altar to Yahweh. Again, he knew Yahweh's name. Verse 20, at that time, Abram returned and went to Haran to see his father and mother and his father's household, and Abram and his wife and all belonging to him returned to Haran. And Abram dwelt in Haran 5 years. Verse 21. And many of the people of Haran, about 72 men, followed Abram, and Abram taught them the instruction of Yahweh and his ways, and he taught them to know Yahweh. What was he doing? He was evangelizing. He was teaching people Yahweh's ways, and Yahweh blessed him for all of this. Verse 22, in those days Yahweh appeared to Abram in Haran, and he said to him, behold, I spoke to you these 20 years back, saying, go forth from your land, from your birthplace, and from your father's household to the land which I have shown you, to give it to you and to your children. For there in that land will I bless you and make you a great nation and make your name great. And in you shall the families of the land, not earth, the land be blessed. And you can reference Genesis 12, verse 1 on that. I will make of you a great goyim. That's what it actually says in Genesis. A nation. Goyim means nation. It does not mean non-Jew. Get that straight. Don't follow the lies of the Jews. Okay? Verse 24. Now arise, go forth from this place, you, your wife, and all belonging to you, also everyone born in your household, and all the souls you have made in Haran, and bring them out with you from here, and rise to return to the land of Canaan. Verse 25, and Abram arose and took his wife Sarai. So it was still Abram and Sarai, not Abraham and Sarah. Took his wife Sarai and all belonging to him, and all that were born to him in his household, and the souls which they had made in Haran, in other words, the converts to Yahweh. And they came out to go to the land of Canaan. Verse 26, and Abram went and returned to the land of Canaan according to the word of Yahweh. And Lot, the son of his brother Haran, went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he went forth from Haran to return to the land of Canaan. Verse 27, and he came to the land of Canaan, according to the word of Yahweh, to Abram, and he pitched his tent, and he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, and with him was Lot, his brother's son, and all belonging to him. Verse 28, and Yahweh again appeared to Abram and said, to your seed line will I give this land. And he there built an altar to Yahweh, who appeared to him, which is still to this day in the plains of Mamre. And that ends chapter 13 of the book of Jasher. So now we start in chapter 14. Of the book of Yashar, Sefer HaYashar, book of the upright. Verse 1. In those days there was in the land of Shinar a wise man who had understanding and all wisdom and of a beautiful appearance, but he was poor and indigent. His name was Rechayon, and he was hard set to support himself. In other words, wasn't much for him there. Verse 2, and he resolved to go to Mitzrayim, that's Egypt, to Osiris, the son of Anom, king of Mitzrayim, to show the king his wisdom, for perhaps he might find grace in his sight to raise him up and give him maintenance. And Rechayon did so. Verse 3. And when Rekion came to Mitzrayim, now it says Egypt in here, but it's not Egypt, it's Mitzrayim. That's the Hebrew. He asked the inhabitants of Mitzrayim concerning the king, and the inhabitants of Mitzrayim told him the customs of the king of Mitzrayim, for it was then the custom of the king of Mitzrayim that he went from his royal palace and was seen abroad only one day in the year. And after that, the king would return to his palace to remain there. Now, this is an interesting story. You're going to get an education here. Verse 4, and on the day when the king went forth, he passed judgment in the land, and everyone having a suit came before the king that day to obtain his request. Verse 5, and when Rekion heard of the custom in Mitzrayim that he could not come into the presence of the king, he grieved greatly and was very sorrowful. Verse 6, and in the evening Rekion went out and found a house in ruins. And it has, this is to tie things in, formerly, it's in italics, a bakehouse in Mitzrayim. And he abode there all night in bitterness of soul and with hunger. And sleep was removed from his eyes. Verse 7. And Rekion considered within himself what he should do in the town until the king made his appearance, and how he might maintain himself there. Verse 8. And he rose in the morning and walked about and met in his way those who sold vegetables and seeds with which they supplied the inhabitants. Verse 9. And Rekion wished to do the same in order to get a maintenance in the city, but he was unacquainted with the custom of the people, and he was like a blind man among them. Verse 10. And he went and obtained vegetables to sell them for his support, and the rabble assembled about him and ridiculed him and took his vegetables from him and left him nothing. Verse 11. And he rose up from there in bitterness of soul and went sighing to the bakehouse in which he had remained. And he slept there the second night. Verse 12. And on that night he reasoned within himself how he could save himself from starvation. They have in italics, and he devised a scheme how to act. Verse 13, and he rose up in the morning and acted ingeniously and went and hired 30 strong men of the rabble, carrying their war instruments in their hands, and he led them to the top of the sepulchre of Mitzrayim, the Egyptian sepulcher. That's the place they buried. And he placed them there. Verse 14. And he commanded them, saying, thus says the king, strengthen yourselves and be valiant men, and let no man be buried here until 200 pieces of silver be given, and then he may be buried. And those men did according to the order of Rekion to the people of Mitzrayim the whole of that year. And in 8 months' time, Rikayon and his men gathered great riches of silver and gold, and Rikayon took a great quantity of horses and other animals, and he hired more men, and they gave them horses, and they were with him. Verse 16, and when the year came around, in other words, the celebration, like we celebrate New Year's today in the secular calendar. At the time the king went forth into the town, all the inhabitants of Mitzrayim assembled together to speak to him concerning the work of Rikayon and his men. He upset a whole bunch of people. Verse 17, and the king went forth on the appointed day, and all the Egyptians came before him, or the Mitzrayim, and cried unto him, saying, verse 18, may the king live forever. What is this thing you do in the town to your servants, not to suffer a dead body to be buried until silver and gold be given? Was there the like unto this done in the whole land from the days of former kings, even from the days of Adam? Whoa! Days of Adam, capital A, Adam, proper name, unto this day, that the dead should not be buried only for a price. So these were Adamic people. Hello, Adamic people. They were not the mixed race mongrels that inhabit that land today. Okay? The racial demographics of those people were different then. So we look at Egypt with all the mutts that are over there now. Oh, well, they're a bunch of mixed race. Well, yeah, they are now, but they weren't then. Verse 19. We know it to be the custom of kings to take a yearly tax from the living, but you do not only do this, but from the dead also you exact a tax day by day. Verse 20. Now, O king, we can no more bear this, for the whole city is ruined on this account, and do you not know it? Verse 21. And when the king heard all that they had spoken, he was very wroth, and his anger burned within him at this affair, for he had known nothing of it. This guy just went, this Rikayon just went and did all this stuff by force of arms. It wasn't legal. Well, what are the Jews doing to us today? They're doing the same thing by force of arms. And it's not legal, but they're doing it anyway. Verse 22, and the king said, who and where is he that dares to do this wicked thing in my land without my command? Surely you will tell me. Verse 23, and they told him all the works of Rikayon and his men, and the king's anger was aroused, and he ordered Rikayon and his men to be brought before him. And Rikayon took about 1,000 children, sons and daughters, and clothed them in silk and in embroidery, and he set them upon horses and sent them to the king by means of his men. And he also took a great quantity of silver and gold and precious stones and a strong and beautiful horse as a present for the king, with which he came before the king and bowed down to the ground before him. And the king, his servants, and all the inhabitants of Mizraim wondered at the work of Rikayon, and they saw his riches and the present that he had brought the king. Now notice I keep talking about the king. You'll understand in a second. And at verse 25, and it greatly pleased the king, and he wondered at it. And when Rikayon sat before him, the king asked him concerning all his works, and Rikayon spoke all his words wisely before the king, his servants, and all the inhabitants of Mizraim. Verse 26. And when the king heard the words of Rikayon and his wisdom, Rikayon found grace, and he met with grace and kindness from all the servants of the king and from all the inhabitants of Mizraim on account of his wisdom and excellent speeches. And from that time they loved him exceedingly. In other words, wow, this guy is really slick. We like that. Okay, even though he was dead, robbed him. Oh man. Remind you of the people today, the politicians, they're all slick. Verse 27. And the king answered and said to Rikayon, now pay attention to this. Your name shall no more be called Rikayon, but Paraoh. Shall, that's Pharaoh, okay, shall be your name, since you did exact a tax from the dead. And he called his name Paraoh. That's Pharaoh, okay, but it's Paraoh. The first Pharaoh, okay, not the king, the Pharaoh. Different. Verse 28. And the king and his subjects loved Rikayon for his wisdom, and they consulted with all the inhabitants of Mizraim to make him prefect under the king, second in command. Okay. And all the inhabitants of Mizraim and its wise men did so, and it was made a law in Mizraim. And they made Rikayon, Paraoh, prefect under Osiris, king of Mizraim. And Rikayon, Paraoh, governed over Mizraim, daily administering justice to the whole city. But Osiris, the king, would judge the land one day in the year when he went out to make his appearance. So this Rikayon basically supplanted him. Verse 31. And Rikayon, Paraoh, cunningly usurped the government of Mizraim, and he exacted a tax from all the inhabitants of Mizraim. Whoa! Who has cunningly usurped the government of all our Israel nations and taxes us all to death? Illegally. Just think on that, folks. Think on that. Who is on a parallel with this guy? Where did Paraoh come from? He was a parasite in the country of Mizraim. He wasn't even from Mizraim. He was from someplace else, and he came in and sucked them all in and bled them dry. who's doing that today? And listen to this, 32. And all the inhabitants of Mitzrayim greatly loved Rechai and Parao. They loved this guy. And they made a decree to call every king that should reign over them and their seed in Egypt, Parao. That's where the term came from. Therefore, all the kings that reigned in Mitzrayim from that time forward were called Parao unto this day. Pharaoh. So that's where the pharaohs come from. The first pharaoh was this Rechayan dude, the slick guy, and they liked him so much, then they started calling all their kings Pharaoh. So there's a little history for you. Oh, man, and does that ever sound like today? Doesn't it? Think about that. What does this country have in common with those times? All these slicks up here. When we had all these original laws, and we've had Barack Obama Llama Ding Dong, and he's not even an American, he's a foreigner, and he's a black, and blacks never had any rights. Now, the Talmudists came in, and now they've legislated equality, which is against Yahweh's law, for all these non-whites, when they were not supposed to be equal. They're not equal. They're beasts of the field, but man, they're running around and now they're attacking people and rioting and mugging and doing knockout contests and raping and all this deception, all this pollution, all this perversion of this nation. Look what's happened to Great Britain. They're making the real British people second class and third class citizens. There are areas in London where white people can't go. London, England! Sweden, what's going on in Sweden? What's going on in Germany, France? All the Israelite white nations. They have deceived and wormed their way into the government, and now they've legislated equality for all these beasts of the field. And they're putting the true Israelites out of their own nations. Well, it's coming to a head. Right here in the book of Jasher. You know, I bet you never heard that before. Where did Pharaoh come from? Well, Pharaoh was a different ruler than the king. But later on, they adopted the term Pharaoh unto their kings. And they wormed their way in. And in Moses' time, there was a different king that was not of Egyptian stock over Egypt. The Hyksos conquered Egypt. But that's another story for another day. I'm coming down the end of my time here. While I have the time, I want to again give my website where you can download all this stuff. It's https://www.pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, hyphen, Steve, S-T-E-V-E, .com. All my shows are either downloadable or listenable whichever you choose, on that site. It's not an interactive site. It eliminates trolls. I don't have to watch it constantly to maintain it, to make sure there's no fight in the chat room. It's a user-friendly site. Got lots of links there. It's designed for ease of use without all the problems. I'm not a babysitter. I don't want to deal with trolls. So I just make it so nobody can post but me. It's a study site to study scripture. That's all it's for. That's what it's for. I don't have time for nonsense of the world. But I'm going to play the outro music here. May Yahweh bless and keep all of you, and I will talk to you again when I do the next Word for Word on Wednesday the 3rd. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe.